Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Happy Labor Day. Julie Hayden here going it solo. Chuck is, as I say, on assignment. That's secret code for golfing. Actually, if people are listening not in Colorado, we're going from like 90 degrees, 100 degrees yesterday to a snow possible tomorrow morning. So Chuck is trying to get all the golfing he can get in. A lot to talk about today. Want to remind folks you can catch all of the podcasts. You can listen live at chuckandjulie.com. Love to have you follow us on Twitter at Chuck and Julie One. Karen Cataline's going to be joining me here in a little bit. I want to talk to her about this sort of a couple of things, really kind of the ongoing fake news reporting and a new theory I have on, actually it's Sidney Powell's theory, I should acknowledge that, on why we're seeing such weirdness in the polling. But I want to start out today with our good friend and congressional candidate, Casper Stockham. Casper, hey, thank you. Happy, did you say Happy Labor Day? Happy Labor Day to you.
Yes, happy Labor Day to you as well.
And, you deserve it because, Chuck and I have repeatedly said you have got to be the hardest working politician in the country. I mean, anytime I turn around, any event I'm at, you're there. You've got something else going on. What I'm really pleased to see, Casper, is at the events that we're going to, and we're talking a ton of people there, everybody knows who you are. You could hear people saying, hey, there's Casper. So I think, your campaigning, I think, is really making a difference.
It is making a difference. And this week is going to be an extremely busy week. Even though we have snow coming in,
We
have a jam-packed week. So that's what I wanted to share with your listeners today. So as we roll out our campaign with law and order, safety, security, education, and healthcare, I have asked Elbert Guillory to come into town. So he is actually driving in as we speak.
Wow.
And I asked him, is he okay with the snow? He said, man, we're looking forward to the snow. He's coming in from Louisiana. So him, his son, and his grandsons are all driving in from Louisiana today.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Well, hopefully the road shouldn't be too bad. It's all going to melt. Well, tell people a little bit about him and then where he's going to be and where they can actually meet him.
Yeah, so Elbert Guillory made his claim to fame when he switched from the Democrat Party to the Republican Party. This is about maybe 8 or so years ago. And he his video went viral. It's gotten over 1 million-plus views.
Wow.
He's been on Fox News. He's been at the Western Conservative Summit several times. He's spoken out about many issues, but now he is on a mission to save America and also to help candidates like myself. So he's coming into town for 4 days. We have events starting as soon as tomorrow. We're going to be down in Parker tomorrow evening for the Parker Republican event.
Okay.
And all this information is on my website under events. So we're in Parker tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we have a lineup. In fact, we're going to be back on your show on Wednesday.
Yep.
talking to you guys. And then we also have some other media shows we're on Wednesday. And then Wednesday night, we're going to be hosting our last Patriot Series event.
Okay.
And this is going to be in the zone in Golden. In the Golden area, in the zone. That event is an event you have to get tickets for. It costs $50 per person and $75 per couple. And that's going to be in the zone to Wednesday night.
Okay.
And then Thursday night, we are going to be on the radio again, but we also have a luncheon we're doing for Hispanic leaders.
Okay.
This is going to be in Adams County. This is a free lunch for Hispanic leaders and clergy. Again, all this is on the website and Facebook page. And then tomorrow night after the luncheon, we're going to have a tea party meeting at the North Jeffco Tea Party group.
Okay.
So that's happening. It's not at the normal location. It's going to be at a church on Pierce Street.
Okay.
Again, all this is on our website.
Okay.
And then Friday, if that wasn't enough, Friday evening, we've got a COVID shootout. So we're meeting at DCF Guns, and we're having a COVID shootout. So Albert and a few select individuals will come, and we'll be shooting COVID targets.
Oh, goodness.
And then we'll have a prize and some prize for the person who wins the who shoots the best. If they can outshoot me, they get a prize.
There you go. Well, okay. Well, you know, let me, it sounds like things are going good. And I ask you this every time, but I just think it's important. You're out there every day talking to people. And I've seen you, you talk to everybody, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
You talk to people who like Trump, who don't like Trump. But yes. What are you hearing? Are you seeing, is this law and order thing resonating, do you think, and or not?
It's resonating big time, and I think the Democrats are pushing the envelope way too much. I watch videos every day of Black Lives Matter and Antifa going into cities like Pittsburgh, I think it was, or Philadelphia, walking down the street where the shops and the restaurants are, turning over tables, interrupting people as they're trying to finally enjoy a meal out, right? You know, they haven't been able to do that for months. So I think they're pushing it far too much. Our goal, though, as Republicans, is to point out who is doing the violence. We're not doing that enough. So I try to make sure that my opponent and the Democrats and the mayors and the city council people are the ones who are receiving the credit for the mayhem that's going on right now in our cities and states.
Well, you know, and a couple of things on that. Number one, it's not just Pittsburgh. I saw some video, I think it was over the weekend, of them in Larimer Square, right? So what did they do downtown Denver?
Yeah.
They're trying to help the restaurant. So they closed Larimer Street there in Larimer Square so people can eat out. And as you said, there were the Black Lives Matter. You know, I was like, wake up, Mayor Hancock. You're seeing all these downtown business people pleading for help and that kind of thing. I mean, who wants to go there, right?
There's no reason why you should not be able to enjoy a night out at a restaurant in Larimer Square and not be harassed, literally harassed by a roaming mob of people walking through there. So you're right. It's been happening often in Denver. I think they're up to 100 something days of continual, they call it protests. I call it rioting. If you are disrupting my time of enjoyment, that's a riot.
Well, and we've seen video where that they actually take people's drinks off their table and drink, right? I mean, you're right. That's not a protest. Another thing, too, that's interesting is if you know, the Black Lives Matter organization is taking money through Act Blue, which is so the money that they're using, that they're raising, it's going directly to Democrats. So when people like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and your opponent, you know, stay silent on this or say, well, you know, maybe they're taking money. They're making money off of this.
Silence means consent. And, you know, so I'm going to make sure that I point out my opponent, Ed Perlmutter, is not speaking out against this violence. And by him not speaking out, he is supporting it. So absolutely.
I absolutely agree. Okay. Yeah. Well, then, and you're saying that when you talk to people, people are paying attention, even if it hasn't maybe been in their suburb or their thing, people are aware of this and they don't like it.
We're making them aware of it. And when they, and as they hear about it, they're like, you know, they're not happy, obviously. Even Democrats, you know, are not happy with what's going on. I think I even heard Ted Trimper talk about this on your show and on Peter's show. He is absolutely appalled by all this rioting and looting and destruction that's going on. And even he knows that this is not going to play well for the Democrats. So I'm going to keep pushing the envelope. I'm going to keep pushing this on to who it's supposed to be on. And that's the governor, the mayor, and my opponent, Ed Perlmutter, Diana DeGette, you know, you name it. None of them are speaking out against this violence.
All right. Well, Cassar, again, you have so much going on. We'll be talking to you again with a special guest on Wednesday.
Yes.
But where one more time, where can folks go to if they want to come to some of these events?
Yes. If they want to get information on any of these events, they can go to Casper4Colorado. It's the word for, F-O-R, Colorado.com. Please go there now and click on events and then sign up for these events, because even though some of them are free, we need to get a head count because we're providing food and resources and stuff like that. So we have to get a good head count. So please go there immediately and do that. Well, after the show.
All right, Casper, thank you so much. Good luck to you.
We'll see you
later this week. All right.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Take care.
Casper Stockham there. Everybody check out Casper for Colorado. A lot of great events. You know, and I'm not kidding. Casper is everywhere. And I think when you see him and when you see the reaction to him, and I think it's a lot of it is Casper and his hard work, but I think there is a growing and swelling sort of, enthusiasm. Not that Republicans haven't been enthused before, but I think it is actually growing. What I want to do now is bring on my friend, my colleague, another BBS radio talk show host, Karen Cataline, host of Spouting Off. Hey, Karen, this is kind of a last minute thing. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? You want to come on the show with me on this Labor Day? So thank you for your time.
I'm always happy to talk to you and Chuck. All right. It's always a lot of fun.
It is. And as we say, Chuck is on assignment golfing right now. Yes. So.
Well, that's important on Labor Day.
It is.
Why
important.
Is it, by the way, that when we celebrate Labor Day, we celebrate it by not working? I don't get that.
Well, some of us celebrate it by not working. Others of us celebrate it by working.
Right. Right.
Well, I think that's kind of the government way of doing it, right? Everything's closed, we celebrate by not. So what I want to talk with you about, and let folks know you can call into 888-627-6008, this hullabaloo over the Trump military comments. And Karen, before we start talking, I got a couple of pieces of video I want to play for folks. This is not the bad Fox News report, okay? There's a bad Fox News report that we'll get to in a second. But Thomas, if we could first play the Fox News report on the Atlantic report that's making false claims about what Trump did or did not say regarding the military during a trip to Europe. So Thomas, if we could play the Fox News report story.
Trump is strongly denying a report that he made disparaging remarks about fallen soldiers during a trip to France 2 years ago. A piece in The Atlantic claiming the president referred to Americans who died in World War I as, quote, losers and suckers. Chief White House correspondent John Roberts is live on the North Lawn of the White House this morning. John, the president's coming out pretty hard on this report. What are we hearing?
Yeah, and I remember all about this, too, not quite 2 years ago, because I was there in France on that presidential trip, and I can say that none of this came up at the time, so it is curious that it is coming up now, now that we're within 60 days of the election. But the president really infuriated over these reports that he would have referred to the Marines, the 1,800 who lost their lives in the Battle of Belleau Woods, and others who were buried at the Ain Marne Cemetery as losers and suckers. The president tweeting just a short time ago, quote, tweeting, "The Atlantic magazine is dying like most magazines, so they make up a fake story in order to gain some relevance. Story already refuted, but this is what we are up against, just like the fake dossier. You fight and fight, and then people realize it was a total fraud." And here's what the president said last night, arriving back from Latrobe, Pennsylvania, at Joint Base Andrews. The video's a little dark, but just listen to what he said.
"And to think that I would make statements negative to our military and our fallen heroes when nobody's done what I've done with the budgets, with the military budgets, with getting pay raises for our military. It is a disgraceful situation by a magazine. And I would be willing to swear on anything that I never said that about our fallen heroes. There is nobody that respects them more."
Now, this morning, I have spoken with two people who were in the meetings about whether to cancel that trip. One of them would not be described as a supporter of the president at current. The president never said that, according to both of these sources, did not use the words losers or suckers. The recommendation to not go to Ain Marne was not the president's. It was made by Zach Fuentes, who was an advisor to Chief of Staff John Kelly. John Kelly concurred, saying that there was some security concerns because the helicopter could not fly, so they would have to motorcade out there, which for security reasons was not a good idea. This is what the actual email said, coming from the military aide to the president. "We are a bad weather call for today's lift. Chief of Staff General Kelly will replace POTUS for today's ceremony. Please advise if any questions." It was also, the allegation was also made that the president did not want to go to Ain Marne because it was raining, and he was afraid what that would do to his hair. The next day, Sandra, I was with the president at the Seren Cemetery where it was raining, and he stood out there and his hair for an hour in the rain and paid tribute to America's fallen heroes.
All right. So there we have. They're saying that it's not true, not true, not true. And Karen, before we get to you, Thomas, if we could play the other bite, but does that stop Joe Biden? Take a listen.
"It's disgusting. And it affirms what most of us believe to be true. That Donald Trump is not fit to be the job of president, to be the commander in chief.
If these statements are true, the president should humbly apologize
to every Gold Star mother and father, and every Blue Star family that he's denigrated and insulted. Who the heck does he think he is?
Now, key words there, if true. So, Karen, let's bring you, what your take on all of this?
Okay, well, a couple of things, but first and foremost, I think it is utterly fascinating that the left, for the purposes of politics, 2 months before an election, suddenly becomes patriotic.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really, look at their track record of lies. Look at their exposure for being hateful towards the military. When it suits them, they hate the military, they hate the police, they hate the National Guard, they hate anybody who will stop their lawlessness. Now, all of a sudden, they're going after Trump and his military base, his base of voters, not his military base.
Right.
I think it's hilarious in a sad, sick sort of way. Think about it. Why would they be going after one of his strongest base if they weren't so desperate?
See,
and yeah, I mean, that's like, I mean, they've gone after again and again and again his Christian fundamentalist base, and they have not been able to break that. People are exceptionally loyal. They don't expect Donald Trump to be God. They expect him to be a president. And the Democrats seem to be going after the military vote. And one other thing, the left, their base will believe anything they're told to believe.
Well,
you know what Randy Corcoran says about the wrap-up tactic, which is they plant the story and then they give it to Biden to validate.
Yes.
You know?
It is totally a playbook. I mean, we saw all this in 2016. I mean, you know, we could talk about, I was a reporter for 30 years, so I know how reporters are supposed to work, right? But you immediately have all of these other reporters saying they confirmed it. Well, they didn't confirm it. It's sort of like the Donald Trump. Remember back in 2017 when CNN had the blockbuster bombshell report about Donald Trump Jr. sending emails to Donald Trump about the whole secret access ahead of time to the WikiLeaks documents, and it turns out that they had the date wrong and actually it was afterwards. But in the meantime, MSNBC and CBS confirmed the report. They said, well, how can you confirm a fake report? This is similarly true. But I think, Karen, it's like you said, if you're the left, you have your own truth. They don't even care if it's true, right?
And
and I think what they do is interesting is because, but it does in a way put Donald Trump, I mean, they go to his Achilles heel, right? They know he's thin skinned. They know he's going to respond to this. My advice to Donald Trump would be do your defense and then move on. Or even
better
yet, I
don't think he's that thin skinned, Julie. I mean, I always welcome the opportunities to disagree with you because we disagree rather infrequently. But I don't think Donald Trump is so thin skinned. I think that oftentimes when he shows outrage, it's a controlled kind of outrage to show how ridiculous it all is. They do still have him on the defense, and you're going to see so many surprises, I think, until that going out. That's just bizarre to me. We haven't even had the great debate, if we ever have one at all.
I agree. I think, you know, that we're going to see all kinds of these bombshells come out. Stormy Daniels may resurface. We're going to hear from all of these people. And here's what I wonder, because you talked about this a second before. If you're the left, you actually don't care if it's true. You either believe it totally because MSNBC says it, or it's anti-Trump, so you believe it, or you don't even care. You're just going to believe it. If you're a Donald Trump supporter, we've gotten used to this over 4 years. We don't believe anything they say. But they had, you know, Rick Grenell the other day scolding the media, essentially saying, no one even listens to you anymore.
Wasn't he great?
It was great.
You got to love Rick Grenell.
But you got to wonder, what do you think? Does this kind of thing matter to anybody? Does it make a difference, do you think?
You know what? I think this is such a patchwork quilt of hysteria going on today that everybody I talk to, just when I think one thing, I talk to somebody and they think something different. It's kind of like a political war shock test. Whatever you believe initially, it's that, what do they call that? The confirmation bias. Whatever you see confirms what you already believed.
Right.
And very frankly, I cop to that, Julie. Cop to having confirmation bias. But I think it's foolish not to have confirmation bias on our side of the aisle when you've seen the same people attack and be found out to be lies and then attack again and then try desperately to overthrow a duly elected president. They never quit. They're never going to stop. And every attack they've had has had giant holes you could drive a truck through.
Right.
Well, so after a while, you know, you begin to watch a pattern and it makes you look really, really smart. No,
yes.
They just don't have that many tricks in their quiver.
Although I think there's a difference between confirmation bias and just blindly cult-like, you know, affirmation or acceptance of whatever the cult leaders tell you, which is, I think, what they do. There isn't, at least with confirmation bias, I would agree with you, I have that too, but at least there's a certain degree of critical thinking, right? Not that like, well, I know it's not, I mean, you've listened to Rachel Maddow, she's still talking about Russia collusion, right? It's like, Seriously?
Yeah, but it's all purposeful and it's all to give their base their talking points so they can go out to their friends and family and say, this is why this isn't true.
Right.
It's like everybody's putting out the memo as to what the Democratic line is.
To that point, I think this Atlantic story was certainly manufactured in coordination with the media lapdogs, right?
Oh,
there's
yes.
no way. So they do this story. Number one, the Atlantic is owned by somebody who's a big Democrat donor. That they do this story, and then within hours, ads professionally produced with veteran interviews and things like that. Now, you and I have been involved in production. You don't you don't even assemble a production team that quickly, right?
No.
Let alone find somebody to pay for it. I mean, that was all orchestrated, I believe.
You know what? I think what is also so sad is the cynicism that we all suffer from watching every institution that we ever had any faith in at all crumbling before our eyes. And I think it's disturbing to a great many people to see that there's so little that they can believe. That's why we have to believe what we know to be true and to be our own investigative reporters, to be our own ascertain what the truth is, because Donald Trump truly has exposed a level of corruption we never thought we'd ever see. And it's been there for decades.
Yes. And the thing is, and I agree with you, and they're not even hiding anymore. Here's another thing. You know, you mentioned a patchwork quilt. Sidney Powell was tweeting something this afternoon that I hadn't thought of. You know, you look at the polls and the polls are all over the place. Trump up, Trump down, Biden up, Biden down. And Sidney Powell was suggesting, and I want to get your thoughts on this, that all of that is deliberate on the Democrats' part because they want to make it seem like, because people are like, how can Biden have such a big lead when there were literally more people to show up for the Trump bus event in Westminster than there were in Wisconsin for Biden's events, you know, the first time he emerged from the basement, right? I mean, you just look around and you look at the Democrats' desperation, which I think we're seeing, as you said, with the, you know, with this fake military story. So then how can Biden have this massive lead? And Sidney Powell is suggesting that that's part of their strategy too, because then if and when, and I say when, Biden loses, they can say, well, how could the polls all show he was so ahead? It must be fraud. And we have to have John Roberts at the Supreme Court issue the final vote. I mean, she's sort of doing that too. She said, this is all part of their, and I wouldn't put it past him, you know, a master plan. And this is one aspect of it, to have people not trust the polls, not trust the election, you know, and that's why they want the all-mail ballot. They don't care that we're saying it's fraudulent. That's helpful to them because I think they want to, that's why they're saying crazy things like, well, Trump may not leave the White House. Like what, he's going to refuse to move out or something? I think they're doing all of that. There's already some more than 200 lawsuits filed in states across the country regarding election laws in this election. The Colorado Secretary of State today was saying that she may, you know, she may have Trump investigated for saying people they should vote twice. I mean, I think they're setting the stage for something truly Machiavellianly evil there.
Well, The one thing we know about them, and we know a lot about them, is that they're always setting the stage. They're always very good at political theater. There isn't anything they put out in the public that hasn't been not only just poll tested, but that somebody has thought of. And they love chaos and confusion. So even if they tell the truth occasionally, and there's a threat of truth, it's always covered up with a bunch of hysteria. And I absolutely agree with Sidney Powell. I think that there isn't anything they do that isn't designed to win this election. It's so fascinating to me that they would have done all this rioting, and I think it was quite orchestrated. We know it was paid for by leftist operatives.
Right.
That they would have introduced us to a level of socialism, Marxism, and unrest before an election, which, you know, usually they always covered that up until after. And then you'd find out what they really believe. The fact that they're going for broke right now lets me know that they have a level of desperation that if, in fact, he does get reelected, please God, let him be reelected. they're not for many, many decades, we hope, going to be in the position that they're in now to be able to overthrow this country and this government. Anybody who doesn't think that's what they're after, overthrow this government in favor of socialism / communism and global socialism.
Right.
You know, every great sci-fi movie has taken over the world. We're watching it. They want to take over the world.
Well, and you're right. I mean, and they're in their desperation on all sides, things are becoming revealed. It is so telling that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is traditionally backed Rhino Republicans who are for open borders because that helps the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, is all of a sudden now just openly backing Democrats. Congressional and Senate candidates. They're acknowledging we're not for business at all. And I think, you know, you're absolutely right that they are desperate to win because what's happened is populism is growing. I mean, I still say the Bernie Sanders is sort of the flip side of a Donald Trump, right? Even in their own way, some of these, not the organized rioter people, but the people who show up for the protests, they in two are saying, hey, nobody's looking out for me. But Donald Trump has taken over the Republican Party and he's getting people elected into office who share his populist view. There is money now coming forward for that populist view. And if you're a globalist, if you're Apple, if you're Google, if you're Jeff Bezos, if you're any of these multinational corporations, you're walking hand in hand with the Democrats because Donald Trump and all of us people, us little pesky voters out here, threaten this very comfortable way of life that they had kind of kept hidden from us for so long.
Boy, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I've never quite understood, Julie, just to challenge you a bit about the difference, or that Bernie Sanders is similar to Donald Trump on the left. I don't know. I'm not sure I've ever really seen that, but I'm curious to know why you think that.
What I mean by that is I think you had establishment Republicans who we all got sick of and said, we recognize you don't do anything that actually works for us. You take care of your big donors and your lobbyists, right? I think, so that's why we want, like Donald Trump, right? We have learned so much more since he took office, so we have many more reasons. But Donald Trump gave the clear sense that he was going to try to help us to create jobs for us, to make life better for us, right? Making America great again meant making us better. I think that Bernie Sanders has tapped into a similar feel or feeling that the establishment Democrats, the Clintons, the Bidens, the Kennedys, the Kerrys, all of those establishment Democrats, even Barack Obama, right, barely takes time off, you know, from visiting yachts and private islands to say a thing or two about the campaign, that they realize those people don't care about them. And that Bernie Sanders, although he's a very poor thing, and Ocasio-Cortez, you know, that they look to that as somebody looking out for them. That's what I mean by that.
You know what, Julie? I think the way I'm sort of translating it in my mind is that The Bernie Sanders, what they do have in common, I mean, ideologically, even though Trump isn't a big ideologue, he is an ideologue because he believes in America, and America is an ideology. So in a sense, he is an ideologue. But one of the areas in which they do have something in common, what I think you're saying, maybe, in to my ear, is that both of them are willing to go after people in their own party for the sake of ideology. The reason Obama hated Bernie Sanders, and they were, and many others were right. willing to even go with a middle-staged Alzheimer's patient like Biden, is so they could get rid of Bernie Sanders. If they didn't do right. something to get rid of Bernie Sanders, and I don't think it's because they thought he would lose. I think it's because they knew Bernie Sanders is such a true believer. He'd go after them. Right. And they want to be protected. And the same with Trump. Trump right. is, you know, draining the swamp. And he doesn't care whether you're a Republican swamp creature or a Democrat swamp creature. Right. It's clear he's working for the people. So, right. you know, and in that, that I sense, mean, I think you're exactly right.
Their ideas are crazy, but I think there is this general sense that the professional politicians work for the lobbyists and the big money donors.
And themselves.
And themselves, and they don't work yeah. for us.
And they always think they're going to be eaten last, and the truth is they never are.
No. Yeah. Well, let me move to something too, because sure. You guys up there in Greeley are sort of the original hotbed of the COVID or, you know, the lockdown protests, things like that. You know, more and more I've been reading, I mean, the stuff has come out now and it's hard to find it in the mainstream media. They won't do it, but there was I think it was a UCLA study, a California study that shows the mortality rate is way, I mean, more than 10 times less and with COVID-19 than what we thought it was going to be. Even the New York Times had an article buried in it that says as much as 90% of the positive tests are wrong, that they're not, they're testing for the wrong thing, basically, or they're testing for so much. I got a feeling, and the Democrats keep trying to say, well, Trump is taking time away from COVID. I think people, many of us quickly, but even some of those slower people are starting to say, you know, maybe this isn't that big a deal. Maybe we should be able to eat at a restaurant. Maybe our kids should be able to go to school. Maybe I should be able to get a haircut without having to wear a mask. But you guys are sort of, I think, at the forefront up there. What do you think?
Well, you can only get a haircut if your name is Nancy Pelosi, but
there
that's another story. This issue, this COVID thing has had my hair on fire from the very yeah. beginning, not just the masks, but the whole lie. And it is unfortunate that we constantly have to qualify it by saying, yes, we think there's a COVID-19 virus. We think there's a coronavirus, but the donkey in the living room, as I wrote on my, on my website, is that it has never been as serious as people yep. think. It is well over 99.8% survivable. And the only way it probably wasn't survivable is if you happened to be in a Democrat state and a Democrat city where you had a despicable governor send COVID-19 patients into nursing homes and infect the most vulnerable of us. That alone should have had everybody ripping their masks off and saying, I ain't playing this game.
Right.
But unfortunately, it's been very, very frustrating to watch people take the path of least resistance because they don't understand that this is not the path of least resistance. If you do not stand up now, hate to keep being so repetitive, but on my show, I say all the time, if you roll over now, you'll be bending over later. And if anybody thinks that they're going to stop with forcing you to do something that is as stupid and ridiculous as putting a rag on your face, and it's not about whether it works or it doesn't. That's
right.
what I keep saying to people. It doesn't matter. If you think it works, wear one. If you don't think it works, don't wear one. But to suggest that as long as they can convince you that it works, they have a right to force you into it.
Right.
And how about this? Anything that they tell you is good for you, you know, it's for your own good and we have to force you into it. This is as preposterous and as big a farce as anything I've ever seen. And the fact they've been getting away with it, I see a lot of people. Of course, I spend more time in Weld County, where it looked like nighttime here a couple of hours ago because of the fires.
Oh, the smoke, yeah.
It was really eerie. It's like we turned, everybody had their headlights on. And I don't know if it was, it really literally
not
looked
that
like
bad
9
here.
O'clock. Yeah. At night, and there's ash on all our cars, and it kind of feels a little Armageddon-ish.
There you go. I think it's the Democrats. Well, you know, we all, you know, initially said, okay, you know, we want to flatten the curve. So, but that was back in March. And as we've said, you know, Governor Polis is still insisting on it. The Jefferson County Health Department still suing Bandemir, even though we now know it's not transmitted by people outside. It's not, even if it were, what did the study was showing, the odds, it's literally like 19 million to one that you would need to be like literally hospitalized. Somebody under 64 would need to be hospitalized, let alone die from COVID-19.
Yeah,
right?
look at the diabolical nature of the way that they imposed this on the public. First off, Polis gave himself plausible deniability by putting it in the hands of the health department.
Yes.
Well, the health department isn't an elected official. They're unelected bureaucrats.
Right.
So they can sit around and start making a bunch of laws based on a phony, fraudulent
premise
virus,
right,
to say nothing of the fact that the moment that they ratcheted down the stupid projection numbers, everything should have been open immediately. And what bothers me is the gullibility of the public.
Right.
If they knew anything, and of course they're watching CNN, so maybe they don't, some of them, but they are buying into something that is so flawed and such a lie. And you've got to look at who the people are that are lying to you.
Right.
So we go back to confirmation bias. Well, if your brother-in-law has lied to you again and again and again and again and again and says, this time I'm going to take your $50,000, assuming you have some, and I'm going to really invest it this time. And he keeps losing it. Are you going to give him your money again?
No.
So in our personal lives, we get this. But when it comes to somebody on our TV screen, we think we're supposed to believe them. So it is disturbing that people don't realize that they must fight back on this mask issue, because it's going to get a lot worse.
I think it is. And it all stems back to, and you've talked about this before, that there's a lot more that's going on here than just wearing a mask. I'm going to cite something going on here in Westminster. So last year, maybe it was 2 years ago, and Chuck and I talked a lot about this on our show, there was an election going on. Most of them were Emerge, which is a very progressive women's wing of the Democrat Party. The whole goal is to get women elected. So they got a bunch of them elected onto the Westminster City Council. They first tried to start regulating trash, right? They were going to charge you more. I mean, it's all part of their green thing, you know? They were going to charge you more for having too much trash. Well, that got pushed aside. But then they decided, they convinced people, we need to raise the water rates. Well, nobody's really paying attention, right? Because it's just city council, who cares? No one's paying attention. They vote for these women. They don't really realize what happened. Well, this summer in Westminster, the new water rates went into effect. I know our water bill went, and I'm not exaggerating here, our water bill went from, you know, roughly $140, right, to $400. Okay.
Really?
Nothing changed. They just changed. Westminster has, I believe, one of the highest. And what they did is they changed the tier, Karen. So if you live in a tiny apartment, right, by yourself, then you get a low rate. But the more water you use, they kick you up into a tier. So it's not really based on how much you use. It's based on what tier you're in, right? Mm-hmm. So basically, if you have a single family home with a yard in Westminster, your water bills have skyrocketed. And for some people, skyrocketed beyond what they can afford. Well, now all of a sudden, they're trying to launch a recall petition because people are waking up, right? But I go back to, This is all part. They want to get rid of single family homes, right?
Yes,
they put out this thing. They're talking about, you know, those HOAs, you know, those green belts, those beautiful things where we can see in the mountain. Those are wasteful. And we don't want to have any of those. Instead, we want to have tall, kind of tiny micro unit apartment complexes, right? It's all part of this social engineering, I believe. Mm-hmm. And if people aren't paying attention, like I said, you just think, who cares who's a Westminster City Council person? Well, all of a sudden, your water bill is more than you can afford. And they're like, well, too bad. There's nothing you can do about it. I think the mask is a similar thing. They're trying to socially engineer us. They're trying to get us used to, you know, first you just wear a mask. Then you can't, then all of a sudden you can't serve French fries at school. Now all of a sudden stores can't sell, you know, Coca-Cola, things like that. I think
it's not about what they're talking. It's never about what they say it's about.
Right.
It's about control. Mm-hmm. You have to have centralized control in order to make socialism / communism work. And I don't know if you've ever had Trevor Loudon. I've had him many times. And one of the things I say that I quote him frequently is that he's asked, what's the difference between socialism and communism? Uh-huh. And he says, oh, about 5 years.
Oh.
So there are things that you must put into place. Every single one of these things, I've said this on your show before, but I have to say it again.
Sure.
Every one of these things make absolutely no sense until you plug in the motive of socialism / communism. Otherwise, it makes no sense.
Right.
Why would, we all know that leftists hate churches and synagogues and people of faith. But until you realize, and most conservatives and people listening to your show do, that people of faith are among the biggest threats to communism and always have been. Because, like Hebrew National, you know, we answer to a higher authority.
Exactly.
And we are the law abiders, but we still hold ourselves accountable and we feel held, we feel held to account by God, not by men. And because they want to be God, not only in their universe, but in ours,
right,
they must put down religion. They're doing it in China right now. And these leftists are China wannabes.
Right.
They're Chinese wannabes.
And I think it's even more an additional thing to that, too. Like you said, in part, they have to get rid of religion because you answer to a higher authority and they want to be the highest authority. The other thing is, too, is, you know, you have your own sense of purpose in this universe and that purpose matters to you. And they don't want you to have a purpose. They want to tell you what your purpose is. They want to give you an aptitude test and say, well, you should be here. You should be there. They don't want to hear what your dream is. They don't want to hear what your life plan is. I don't want to hear about your goals or your aspirations. They want to give all of that to you and fit you like a widget into their plan.
And we could drill down, and I may have veered off the subject here a little bit, because it's like all those things. All the things that they attack are the things that would prevent socialism / communism, including the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, all of those things. But what's, and I lost track of what I was going to say. There's like always five things in my head at one time.
Well, and here's where though, Don, I know, me too. Here's where Donald Trump, I think, has made a difference. There was a time, I would say 10 years ago, maybe not even 10 years ago, probably 6 years ago in a newsroom where you would not mention religion. If you wanted to talk about religion, people would go like, oh, she's a weirdo, right? But all, but Donald Trump has made, and I think that's going to be hard to put away, right? Donald Trump has made it possible. Now you can talk about religion. Now you can talk about, you know, before you would never talk about immigration. If you said anything about illegal immigration, you were immediately called a racist. And this was not that long ago, right? And Michelle Malkin was like, and Tom Tancredo were some kind of nut jobs who you would never even talk to, right? But Donald Trump has this, and I think, ability to kind of just clarify stuff. And he's like, the emperor has no clothes. He rips the curtain aside and he's like, no, look, illegal immigration is bad. We can say illegal immigration.
What's one of the most things he has is just plain courage. He does not care whether you don't like him. He's going to show you who he is regardless, warts and all. And as far as I'm concerned, that is infinitely more noble than the people who are trying to appear as something they're not. I learned from Kurt Schlichter this week a word I didn't know when I read his last piece called LARPing. Did you know that? I never heard of a word called
I never heard LARPing. Of LARPing.
LARPing is the same as agents provocateur, people who profess to be something they're not, usually on social media. So they're like phony conservatives in order to spy on you, or they're,
we've seen that here in trolling. Colorado. There was some guy who had a Facebook page, right?
Yes.
Pretending to be a conservative, but was not a conservative at all.
Yeah. And they do that not only to troll and to spy, but to aggravate people.
Right.
And in order to get them, you know, to get more information.
Right.
And so the courage to be real, I think, is one of the great magic, part of the great magic of Donald Trump.
Yes.
He was the first guy to stand up. You know, when he turned a lot of people around to him in the election of 2016, early on, when he started talking about political correctness, in which he said, I don't believe in political correctness. And you could just almost hear people in their living rooms going, yeah!
Neither do I know.
He says what people are thinking, but don't think they're allowed.
Right.
And Donald Trump has never believed he was not allowed to speak his mind. And he speaks his mind, and he gets enormous respect and loyalty for having done so, and he makes it possible for other people to do likewise.
You know, exactly. And I'm going to take, for instance, and you see kind of the media reacting to that. You know, when the Channel 9 reporter was doing the Bandemir story and was kind of snarkily saying, I did not go in because it might violate health orders, right? Now, you can tell that reporter still thinks that somehow or another he's morally superior for saying
right.
that. But he was universally, at least among conservatives, and people there, ripped for saying that. And
then he found out, he was found out to be lying.
Exactly.
Because he was in there.
He was in
so
there.
So not only is it LARPing, but it's lying. You know that
lying,
old fashioned
LARPing.
Word lying.
Right. Lying LARPer.
Exactly.
LARPer.
And we keep seeing them again and again doing that. Lying, yes. Lying, LARPing, LARPing. You
Let
know,
me,
after a while you see a pattern.
Yes. I'm going to ask you just a couple more questions because we can probably wrap the show up early today. Chuck's on assignment.
Okay.
We can be on assignment too. I do not think that Donald Trump and Joe Biden are going to have a debate. What do you think?
Really?
Well, I don't see
what. Nothing would surprise me. Nothing this year would surprise me. I'm not much into prognosticating because by the time you get around to prognosticating, something else has happened. So I think that things happen in a pattern that are quite predictable. But what specifically happens, I'm watching with everyone else. I would give anything to watch a debate between those two. But
can you imagine, though, if you're Joe Biden, even, I mean, you know, Donald Trump, at least, sometimes you do watch his debates and you're kind of like, what's he going to say? Right. But we're used to it by now. And you know, so it doesn't bother us. And plus 90% or maybe even more of what he says, you agree with. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe Biden, can you imagine his poor campaign staff watching at the debate? I mean, that whole room would be filled with Alka-Seltzer and Pepto-Bismol. Like
it's
that.
Like when you're watching an ice skating show.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's somebody who you know is going to be very reliable and
right.
You can relax. But when somebody always falls, you're always on the pinwheel. Please don't
yes.
fall. Please don't fall.
It's like if your kid is doing a piano recital, you're like, oh.
Exactly. I don't know. I think, since you are going to maybe wrap up early, I would say that the Democrats will not do anything if they think that it's going to hurt them. Well, except, you know, colluding and inciting riots in the streets
right.
in major
right.
cities around the country. I don't know how they thought that was going to help them.
Right.
They figured out, thank God they live in a bubble, because that helps us that they
yes.
do. But I have said, and I've got to say again, that if this election is even remotely fair, Donald Trump wins in a landslide. My biggest fear is that we've seen the Democrats will do anything to win. Anybody who does not think they will cheat is
yes.
simply not watching. They
no.
have been willing to do anything to get rid of this president. So who thinks they wouldn't cheat? Who thinks they wouldn't ballot harvest? Now, I think Trump is well aware of that.
Yes.
But we must always work as if we're 10 points behind.
I think, and not only that, I think that again, there's another kind of tactic or strategy that they have going on. And that is going to be, I mean, there's a reason why more than ever before, hundreds of lawsuits have been filed in almost every state regarding various election laws, right?
And so 600 lawyers. Yeah. Democrats hired 600 lawyers.
Right. And I think that one of the things they're doing, even if they lose, they're covering their bases, right? Even if they lose, they're going to wrap and have everything in such chaos and confusion. Now, the good thing about Donald Trump is he didn't let the whole Russia hoax stop him. I don't think he'll let this stop him either.
No, he's brilliant at hoisting people by their own petard. And they simply refuse to learn who it is they're up against. And I was at a luncheon the other day in which I said, look, you know, if God was done with this country, we would not have Donald Trump sitting in the White House.
Huh?
And because that's so, it was practically a religious experience for me, November 8th, 2016.
That's true. Uh-huh.
It was such a miraculous day. And the significance of it was so huge. And Donald Trump has now emerged. People now understand. Some of us, like you, Julie, and myself, knew that Donald Trump was the only person in a long list of Republicans who had the intestinal fortitude, the clarity, the money, and frankly, the guts, the courage to stand up against these people. He's the only one that would pose any kind of threat to them.
Exactly.
So they still, after this long, do not get him. They still don't understand him. They are unwilling, because of their narcissism, to see that he's beat them at every turn. And God willing, he'll do it again. We have to help him.
That's right. That's what you're doing our part too. Well, let me ask you, can people, you've got your own show. You're on every Friday. Why don't you tell folks a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, I do a show called Spouting Off on Fridays at 12 noon Mountain, 2 p.m. Eastern. And it is live call-in talk, like the old-fashioned live call-in talk.
Right.
And I just love doing that show. I've done about 130 of them now.
Wow.
I do a lot of fill-in for other nationally syndicated shows. And I write a lot. So you can find more about me than you ever want to know by going to KarenCataline.com. Yes, my name is a punchline. And the last name is spelled KataLine.com.
All right. Hey, Karen, thank you so much for taking time off and working on this Labor Day when we're not supposed to be working. All right.
You are special, and so is your husband. And people have a lot of loyalty towards you, too.
All right.
For good reason, because you have great integrity.
Likewise to you too.
Thank you,
I appreciate it. Hey, want to remind folks, the show is brought to you today by ColoradoCitizenPress.com and Senegenics. We'll tell you more about that on Wednesday. On Wednesday, kind of an interesting show. You heard Casper. We'll have him on with his special guest. We're going to be talking, this is a good idea, I think. Chris Doty is talking about forming a Colorado Press Association. We'll talk a little bit about what's happened to the current Colorado Press Association. It has been taken over by very progressive people. So that going on. You can catch our podcast if you missed it, or any of them, at chuckandjulie.com. Love to have you go to our YouTube channel. You can get there at chuckandjulie.com and subscribe to us. We're trying to reach 1,000 subscribers. That way we can go live easier from events like the Bandimer thing. Meanwhile, though, thank you to the guys at BBS, Thomas and Don and Doug, for working on this Labor Day with us. Everybody else on Zoom and listening, thank you much, and we'll see you on Wednesday.